Andy, thank you so much for reading that. Please, could you keep your Bibles open at that page? And then let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you for the freedom we have to meet together like this, to sit under your word. And we cry out to you and ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and show us wonderful things out of your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. This must be one of the most moving and poignant chapters of the Bible. On a previous occasion, by a charcoal fire in the high priest's courtyard, Simon Peter had been asked three times, you're one of this man's disciples, aren't you? And three times Simon Peter had vehemently denied it. Now again, by a charcoal fire, though this time by a lakeside, Simon Peter is asked three times by Jesus, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? It's one of the most moving chapters of the Bible, and the question that Jesus asked Simon Peter is one of the most searching. It is a question which, as we look at this passage together, the Lord Jesus Christ will ask of each of us. Do you truly love me? Will Stallman, do you truly love me? John Drake, do you truly love me? Angela Scott, do you truly love me? And so on. So if John chapter 20 ends with a hard-headed, committed unbeliever, that was Thomas at that time, declaring his personal trust in Jesus as Lord and God, chapter 21 ends with a disciple who has totally failed his Lord and Master, being picked up, dusted down, and recommissioned in his service. So for any who are conscious that they have let Christ down, and I suspect there will be some of us here who know that we have done that, well, this account should be really helpful to us. In this interview between Jesus and Simon Peter, we have a question that is asked three times, we have a confession that is repeated three times, and we have a commission that is given three times. And we'll look at each of those in turn. So first, the question that is asked three times. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And it's a reminder that Christianity is about a person. Jesus is not a philosophy. It's about a friendship, not about religious observances or religious formula. It's about Christ rather than a creed. So Jesus doesn't say to Simon, Simon, do you know the 39 Articles or the Westminster Confession? Do you have a quiet time every day? Do you tithe your money? Have you led somebody to Christ? No, it is, do you love me? In fact, in verse 15, he says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? That could be, do you love me more than the other disciples do? Or do you love me more than everything or anybody else? I don't think it matters. But the question is very searching, because actually it exposes all hypocrisy and sham. You see, it is actually very easy to be a churchgoer and outwardly respectable, to develop religious habits even, which are in themselves good, but all along to have little love for Jesus. This was the trouble with the church in Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, that the same John who wrote this gospel has a vision of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus. And in this vision, Jesus is dictating some letters. And in his first letter, which he wrote to the church in Ephesus, Jesus commends the church for holding on to Christian truth, but then goes on to rebuke them for forsaking their first love for him. Their love for Christ had gone cold, and Jesus wasn't happy about it, and he calls on them to repent. Now, how do you know that you love somebody? Well, I think it's actually quite easy to work out. You think about them. It's a bit like a sort of a compass needle. Now, anyone under the age of 40 might never have come across a compass. Nowadays, you find out where you are through your phone or through some sort of GPS tracking device. But at school, I had to learn how to use a compass. And when you go walking or running with a compass, that needle on the dial juts around all over the place. But when you're still, well, the needle will swing round and then settle, pointing to the north. Well, love is a bit like that. If you love somebody, you might be preoccupied throughout the day and think of all different things, not think about them much. But actually, when you stop, well, your thoughts come back to that person whom you love. You think about them. You want to spend time with them. You want to speak to them and listen to them. You're concerned about them. You want to please them. And you like to speak of them to others. Simon, Will, John, Angela, Becca, do you love me? Are you thinking about me? Do you want to spend time with me, listening to me, and speaking to me? Do you want to please me? Do you speak about me to others? See, loving Jesus is the heart of everything in the Christian life. As one writer put it, let your Christian faith be less of a theory and more of a love affair. So our obedience to Jesus' commands, our desire to listen to him and to pray, our willingness to serve all at its best should spring out of a love for him. When Jesus wanted to restore Simon Peter, who denied him three times, he asked him three times just one question. Do you love me? To the church of Ephesus, which was sound in its theology and holding on to truth, Jesus had one very serious complaint. You have forsaken your first love. See, Jesus loves us with a love so deep and strong that he was willing to give up all the glory of heaven to become a human being and to die a shameful death, bearing our sins on the cross. And later on, we will remember that as we take bread and wine. And he did that out of love for you and me. And he expects his people, his followers, to love him in return. And if we don't have a love for Jesus Christ, it will be down to, I think, one of two reasons. Either we do not know enough about him and what he has done for us. And if that is the case, well, then we need to join our next Christianity Explore course, which starts tomorrow night. Or it's simply because we're not willing to receive his love. So a threefold question. And next we come to the threefold confession. Now, it really hurt Peter to be asked by Jesus those three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And each time, Simon Peter's response was simply to appeal to the understanding heart of Jesus. So when he is asked for a third time, Peter replies, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Charles Spurgeon was a great Baptist preacher of the 19th century. He was also a wise counselor. A woman one day visited him and said, Mr. Spurgeon, I do not think I have any real faith left. And Spurgeon suspected otherwise, so he actually took out a piece of paper and wrote on it these words, I do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he took out his pen and handed it to the woman, both the paper and the pen, and asked her to sign it in agreement with that statement. And she said, I can't, it's not true, I'd rather die than sign that. She thought that she had nothing. But when it came to the crunch, she knew that deep down, she loved Christ. Well, Peter knew that he loved Jesus, and he simply flings himself on Christ. Lord, I denied I even knew you three times. I let you down appallingly. I was scared. That's why I did it. I thought of myself rather than of you. But Lord, you know everything. You can see into people's hearts. You know what is there. And Lord, you know that deep down, despite the evidence to the contrary, that I do indeed love you. When Jesus asked Simon Peter that question three times, one for each time, Peter denied him. Do you think he did not know what was in Peter's heart? Of course he did. He knew that deep down Peter loved him, but he also knew that for Peter's love for Christ to blossom into repentance and obedience, it needed to be brought out and given expression. See, Jesus here was being a faithful pastor. Yes, those questions Jesus asked hurt Peter deeply. But Jesus' purpose was not to crush Peter, but to restore him. And for that to happen, not only did Simon Peter have to face up to his denial of Jesus, but he also had to be brought back to the center of his faith, which is a heartfelt love for Christ. And so, friends, if any of us are conscious that we have let Christ down or that our love for Christ has gone cold, then this is what we need to do. Don't hide your failure. Acknowledge it. Face it. Acknowledge it above all before Christ. And tell him that you do indeed love him. And yes, our love is often so weak. But if we have any love for Christ, however weak and small it may be, we need to give expression to it. And yes, we do that when we come together as a church like this, Sunday by Sunday. But we're also, above all, meant to do it on our own, or so to speak, face to face in prayer. When we express our love to him. And so finally we come to the threefold commission. And whereas the threefold question and confession just repeated the same thing, actually the threefold confession has some, the threefold commission has some extra elements added to it. But the first one is, which was repeated three times, a call to service. For each time when Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus says, see it there, verse 15, feed my lambs. Verse 16, take care of my sheep. And then verse 17, feed my sheep. You see, love for the Lord Jesus is to be expressed by caring for the Lord's people. Actually, and we see this a number of times actually, in the Bible. So do you remember when Jesus appeared to Saul, as he was then, on the road to Damascus? There he was, persecuting Christians. And Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" To which Jesus replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." You see, to persecute Christians is to persecute Jesus. To serve and care for Christians is to serve and care and love Jesus. And there are so many ways we can do that. But let me just mention two in particular, two or three, because actually there are kind of great, there are great needs we have here at St. Mary's, and actually they flows as a direct application from this passage. See, Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep, feed my lambs, you know, younger, older, the whole age range. Well, we have an urgent need for more people, we will have an urgent need for more people this coming year to help out as growth group leaders. As John reminded us earlier, every 4 years we reorder the growth groups. And if we're going to have enough growth groups for all the people who we hope want to be in one, we need folk who are willing to take on responsibility for leading a group. And at the heart of all our growth groups is the study of God's word. That means by which we are fed in the way of Christ. Likewise with our children's and youth groups. We run a full children's program at both our morning congregations and the 4 o'clock one. We have midweek clubs and single-sex growth groups for our older teenagers as well. And the children and youth who are part of St. Mary's need feeding with God's word. And it's desperately important. Because throughout the country, in many churches and growth groups and Sunday schools, there are those that are not actually being fed much with the word of God. Actually, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are being fed ourselves. That's a personal responsibility we each have. But also that we are feeding and helping other people. So if you could serve Christ by joining one of our children's or youth group teams, or if you have the ability to lead a growth group, then do it. Not principally because there is an urgent need, but because you love Jesus. And you know that Jesus wants his lamb and his sheep fed. John, who wrote this gospel, also wrote some letters. And in his first letter he says, "How can you love God whom you can't see if you don't love your Christian brothers and sisters whom you can see?" So Jesus says to Peter, "If you love me, tend my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. That's the job I have got for you." And isn't it wonderful that Simon Peter, who mucked up so greatly, is being entrusted again with service for the Lord? Someone once put it like this: you ask what forgiveness means? It's the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him. Being trusted again with service. So it's a call to service, but it's also a call to suffering and sacrifice. Look at verse 18. So Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And then he goes on, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." And it's reported elsewhere from tradition that Peter was himself eventually crucified. Stretched out, arms stretched out, like the Lord Jesus. So Jesus says to Peter, "I'm recommissioning you." And it's not only a call to service, it is also a call to suffering. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great Christian leader of the Confessing Church in Germany during the Second World War, said, "When Christ calls someone, he bids him come and die." And for Bonhoeffer, that literally happened. For the stand that he took for Christ, actually he was executed by the Nazis just 3 weeks before the end of the Second World War. Now, of course, that won't always be the case. But the Bible does assure us that everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Following Christ faithfully will always, somewhere along the line, bring opposition. So today, if church leaders remain true to the Bible's teaching about sexuality or gender or the uniqueness of Christ, they can be sure that from some quarters they will be opposed. I know a surgeon who was very upfront about his faith, who outside of his work as a doctor ran Bible studies. And at one time had 100 ex-patients involved in them. But because of his zeal for Christ, he was always turned down for consultant jobs. There's no small print in the Bible. Jesus is absolutely upfront. And having told what would happen to him, he says to Peter, two words, "Follow me." I suspect that for most of us sitting here at St. Mary's this morning, this commission of Jesus to suffer is actually a call to leave our comfort zone. It's principally what it is. To serve Christ Jesus always involves hard work. It always involves a cost. So, for instance, if we do serve Christ by leading a growth group, although we will grow spiritually and be blessed in the process, and if we do it faithfully, we will be, there is nonetheless a cost in preparation time. There is a cost in praying regularly for members and being involved sacrificially in other people's lives. There's a cost in having that ongoing commitment. There is a cost in energy. And then finally, there is a call to single-mindedness. Actually think of another word or a better word to express what I mean, but let me kind of show it to you. So verse 20, Peter looks over his shoulder and he sees John, that's the disciple whom Jesus loves, Peter's mate, and he says to Jesus, in effect, "What about him?" And in effect, Jesus says to Peter, "Mind your own business. What I've got in store for John isn't your concern. You must follow me." Again, repeating that call to follow Christ, follow in the way of Christ. Teenagers often like to hunt in a pack. You ask a teenager to do something, and the cry will often go up, "Well, what about the others? There are safety in numbers." But actually, teenagers, we all do that, actually. We look after our shoulder to what others are doing or thinking. We look for safety in numbers when we should be asking ourselves simply, what is it that the Lord Jesus wants me to do? And sometimes what Christ wants us to do will be quite lonely because we have to go against the flow. It's something that those in Christian leadership have to learn. We have to do what is right in the situation that we're in, what we believe that Christ wants us to do, and we're not to worry about what other churches or other people do or think. Jesus says to Peter, don't worry about John, you follow me. Learn to live your life looking up at me and not constantly looking at sideways at others. So a threefold confession. Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. No, that's the threefold question, first one. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Loving Jesus is the heart of Christian faith. And friends, is that what our Christianity is about? The threefold confession. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So deep down, actually each of us will know whether we love Jesus or not. And if you're aware that you don't have any love for Christ, ask God to open your eyes and your heart to what Jesus has done for you. As we come later on to communion, think, as that bread and wine is handed round, that Christ gave his body, he shed his blood, so that you can have life, a future with God. He needn't have done it, but he did it for you. And if you do love Christ, give expression to it on your own, quietly, in your quiet times, talking to him throughout the day. Tell him that you love him, as well as when you come to church. And then finally, the threefold commission: to serve, to suffer, and to do that single-mindedly. Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us. Help us in response to truly love you. Thank you that you know our hearts. And please may all that we do be out of love for you. Please sanctify our motives for being involved in Christian service. Please help us to give ever more clear expression of our love for you. And for any here who just are aware that they do not have a love for you, please, would you just show them what you did for them on the cross? We ask this in Christ's name, in your precious name. Amen. Amen.